Oh no.
Oh no. There he is.
Where's Boya?
There he is. That was weird. Anyways, welcome to another episode of Whiskey, Beer, and Conspiracy Podcast. I am one of your hosts, as always, on the either end of the way.
It's me, Boya.
That's right. We got a very special guest jumping on the show again for a second time. But before we introduce her, as always, I need you to stop listening to the show right now. Right now. Go to WBCTavern.com. Sign up, $5, get you exclusive access to everything we're doing over there. Early access to the main show. You get exclusive merchandise, exclusive discounts, documentaries that are on our website. Steph and Boya's new hit show, Smoke Break. The Great Serial Debate just dropped last night, so check out for that one. Boya, anything else?
I think that's it, man. Regardless, you could still go to the website, take a look at the merch, get something, stickers, shirts, hats, whatever you want. It's all there.
Mm-hmm. If you don't, we will literally find you. So, coming on the show for a second time, Miss Ashley, hooligan hottie.
Yeah.
How are you?
I am good. We just got home from the beach. We were spreading my mom's ashes. So. Wow. We all know she passed in like November, suddenly in her sleep at 60.
Damn it.
Wow. So,
damn it.
I never asked any questions. My brother tried to ask the questions and I was like, just let it go.
Yeah.
So yeah. We spread her ashes this weekend. I mean, we spread her ashes this weekend. It was beautiful. It was great. It's over. But I'm doing good. So.
Good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I believe with what Boya just said is probably true. You probably won't want to know the answer, so just leave it.
You don't want to know the answer, and that's okay. You just leave it alone.
Yeah. So. Well, that's good. I'm sure she was a fantastic muta, and God rest her soul. I know she's looking down right now. Probably drinking a beer.
She's probably man. Like, what are you doing on this podcast again?
I know she's probably looking over at God. He's like, "Is that yours?" And he's like, "No, it's not mine. I don't know." So, since last we've talked, a lot has transpired in the world. We were in the midst of COVID, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. We're coming kind of down out of that. Maybe that was more accurate. You talked a little bit about your school and where you were and how you were pretty fortunate, pretty blessed. And you didn't have to necessarily deal with a whole lot of what maybe some people had to deal with, maybe on the West and East Coast. So what's going on with you now? What's been transpiring in your neck of the woods?
I think ever since I did the podcast last time, it really gave me a lot of confidence. I've been nominated for Teacher of the Year, Economics Teacher of the Year for the state of Georgia. But it really gave me more confidence to tell these kids to go into trades. Yeah. And I do that whole career fair now. And I have kids now going to the hospital and working, and kids now going to work for the city that we work, that we live in. And it's just made me more passionate about what I do. And I didn't realize how passionate I was about it till I did this podcast, and listening to it back, I'm like, wow, this is what I need to focus on. So I've been focusing on getting my kids jobs, not just hey, go off to UGA, because I'm in Georgia. Go off to UGA. It's more of, hey, let's go local.
Yeah.
Let's do an industry. you know?
Right.
And the kids, I mean, I had one kid, he's working for the city and he's like, I'm saving all my money, Miss Brown. I'm saving all my money. I'm like, 'cause you should.
Yeah.
He's like, go to work 4 days a week. He's like, I haven't made. And I'm like, yeah. And you're 18.
Yep. Yep. So, that's a good place to start.
I think that's the biggest thing for me.
Yeah. You end up in a place like that for 30 years. You're set, you know?
Yeah. And I think that was the biggest eye-opening thing for me when I did the podcast was even my dad was like, wow, you are very passionate about careers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, because that's what they need to be doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, the people get too comfortable, you know, teachers, high schools in general, they get too comfortable with convincing a student to go take out $250,000 in debt with no job, mm-hmm. you know, no way to pay it back. And just completely financially yeah. ruin them from the start. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I coach. I remember we talked that I coached and I never really said what I did because I was like nervous that I would get found out. I coached cheerleading. And okay. one of the girls that I coached last year, she graduated and she now works at the hospital in town. And she loves her job.
That's awesome.
Like we got her that job. I think last year our school, and that's between me and the Student Success Alliance and the CTI coordinator, we got 31 kids jobs.
Wow.
That's awesome. After high school.
That's incredible. Incredible.
It's insane. It's insane. Like there's so many jobs out there too.
Right. Exactly. So. Yep. Yep. You just need people to want them and starting at that young of an age. You know, that's great, especially working in the city they live in. Nothing better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they're getting benefits and they're getting yep. life insurance and they're getting, I mean, there's mm-hmm. so many opportunities for them. And
yeah.
I just feel like you said, you put it in a box and go to college. But that's not the way it is in these rural towns.
Yep.
Right. You know? Right. And objectively,
it's
like
very, very passionate.
Exactly.
What I'd like to do with this episode is objectively kind of focus this a little bit more towards parents with teenage school children or soon to be out of the house that maybe haven't found their direction mm-hmm. in life. And that's why I pulled this up on screen here. So if you're listening to this show and you got some kids, some young kids that don't know what they want to do, or maybe you're a parent and you have some have a friend that has some kids, maybe send this episode to them. And that's why I pulled this up on screen. Now, if you're just listening, that's okay. I'm going to read a lot of these. But if you're watching through Spotify or on our Rockfin channel or what have you, you can see all these. Now, this is the highest paying trade jobs in 2023. This was published May 3rd. So it's a couple months old. This is 24 of the highest paying jobs. Now, if you look at this, now again, this is the median salary. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is not the highest or the lowest. This is right smack dab in the middle.
Right.
Now, if we start with some of these here, we've got Nat, licensed practical nurse, 48,000, power plant operator, 94,000, iron worker, 57. They make way more than that. Mm-hmm. Meth is expensive.
They do.
elevator mechanic, 97,000. Electrical lineman.
Elevator mechanics make stupid money.
They do.
Yeah, they make a lot of money. Electrical lineman, 74. That's mm-hmm. these are medians, right? Yeah. That's like in the middle of what you're making.
Right.
Respiratory therapist, 61,000. Radiation therapist, 82. Aircraft technician, 65. Nuclear medicine technician, 78. Millwright, 59. Don't become a real millwright. No one likes them. diagnostic medical sonogrammer, 75. Dental hygienist, 77. Boilermaker, 64.
Yeah.
Real estate agent, I wouldn't consider that a trade. 48.
No.
Pipe fitter, 59. Construction inspector, 61. Electrician, 60. Automotive service technician, 46.
That's super low.
Yes, very low. Electronics engineering technician, 63. HVAC technician, 48. Computer support specialist, 57. Cable technician, 60. Solar energy system installer, 47. And paralegal, that's not a trade either, 56.
That's the median salary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the great thing is you know, you can go to trade school for a lot of those. If you can't afford trade school, A lot of those have entry-level programs that you can just step into, mm-hmm. and they'll teach you on the job, and then, you know, you learn, and then you're on your way there. So all of those are great because you don't need a degree.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you don't need a degree.
Well, you know, where I'm from, the big thing is linemen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, every boy wants to be a lineman, and you got to – there's lineman companies everywhere, but they do a 6-week school, and that's what my career fair focuses on. Like, you pick a career and you pick the school that you want to go to. And they're like, well, you don't have to go to a tech school or a college to be a lineman. And I said, but there's a program you've got to go through.
Yeah. Yeah. And it definitely doesn't hurt.
Figure it out.
Yeah. All the extra stuff you have on top of it. I mean, if you go to a trade school to become a welder, it might benefit you more than just being a welder's apprentice and then becoming a welder. You know what I mean? You kind of on a fast
track. Well, I think we talked about it last time. Underwater welders make insane.
Yeah. Stupid money.
But you have to be underwater. That's what I tell my students.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very underwater. Yeah. But the thing with underwater welding also is it's very specialized. You know what I mean? So if you are an underwater welder and you get a lot of underwater work, you're probably only one of a handful of guys. But I mean, welders in general already make fantastic money. You know what I mean?
For a long time,
I was like, man, I picked the wrong one. Because it seems like welding probably would have been a far better.
You picked the wrong one. Look at me.
Well, then look at it. I have it pulled up here on screen. So we were just talking about electrical lineman.
Yeah.
And this is something
median 76.
74.5. Now this was something that I originally wanted to do. I just never got I never got an opportunity to get into a program. So then the next best thing I picked was an electrician. But look right here. High school diploma or equivalent plus long-term on-the-job training. Now, if you go up one from that, elevator mechanic, these are the guys that work on elevators and or build them and install them. There's only like a handful of companies around the U.S. that do it. High school diploma or equivalent plus the apprenticeship. Now, if you don't know what an apprenticeship is, basically that is on-the-job training plus schooling, and they pay for it.
Yep.
They pay for all of
it.
They even pay for your tools too.
Yeah. Now where I am now, I kind of lucked out with where I wanted to plant my roots and raise my family, because we just so happen to have a higher price for an electrician with the union out here versus cost of living. Now I can tell anybody this because this is public knowledge. Right now, a journeyman electrician out here in Kansas makes $47 an hour. Now, if you do 47 times 40 times 52, that's $97,000 a year. Now,
the journeyman's electric license.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And if you did that, if you started the program, because it takes 5 years, 5 years of an apprenticeship, and you started when you were 18, okay, by the time you're 23, you'll be making $100,000 a year with no school debt. Yeah. And some of you may be asking, especially if this is your first time listening to the show, or if someone shared the show with you, like, what does this have to do with conspiracies? Well, quite frankly, I believe that the conspiracy is to convince kids to go to school, to get a degree, to fall into debt so that you were required to get into a job that you probably don't even love,
That
does not pay you enough to get out of that school loan debt for a very long time. And then by the time you're done with it, you're too old to try something else. No, I'm not saying you're too old to ever try anything else. I don't think that at all.
Yeah, there's always exceptions.
Yes, but not everybody like me loves their job and gets paid a lot less.
Right. But
I love what I do.
I'll tell you from experience, though. I used to work at a dealership, and I was making a lot more money than I am now, but I would say I'm overall more happy with the company I'm in now. You know what I mean? So there is like a give and take, but you know, I think the whole idea of just having zero debt, because like Big Country said, Not that there isn't exceptions to people who are going to decide to make a career change later in life. I know plenty of people who have, and they ended up going back to a trade, you know, and then going back to the workforce pretty late in life. And it's turned out great for them. They love what they do. They basically are their own boss. And there's no, even if you acquire some debt going to a trade school, that debt's going to be gone max 2 years. Max, once you're out of that school. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's great, you know, especially if you find companies with these apprenticeship programs, because a lot of the times they pay for all your equipment, all your tools. And, you know, you can't beat that.
And one of the things you have to remember, too. Oh, real quick. I just wanted to say one of the things you have to remember.
My husband has a journeyman's and a college degree. So.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and one of the things you have to remember, too, with these trades of what you're learning, electrician, automotive technician, electronics engineer, HVAC technician, pipe fitters, like all these different trades, right, that you can get into, they're not dependent upon the economy.
Right.
Like economy's up.
No, they're not.
Economy's up, they need them. Economy's down, you still need them.
Yeah.
You know, none of them shut down during COVID.
No. Mm-mm. No. When they anytime they listed an essential worker, what they meant was someone in a trade. Because your toilet's gotta flush, your lights gotta stay on, your car's gotta get you from point A to point B because they have to be able to tax you to get to work, you know.
Well, I remember last time I was on here, I had told you my husband was working from home. Remember? Mm-hmm. He actually got a new job in May, water treatment plant in sales. And he's like, they never shut down. I think they shut down 6 weeks.
Yeah.
He was like, I'll never have to work from home again. I'm so excited.
if you can get a job with a utility company, that's even better. You know, because like you said, they're never, it's not like, oh, someone bought the utility company and now, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's always going to be there.
Now, as somewhat of a disclaimer, I do have to add with a lot of these jobs that we just mentioned, most of those jobs are also on the top 10, top 15, top 20 list of most dangerous jobs to have because you're working around heavy machinery, you're working off of elevated platforms, elevated heights, high voltage. Pipe fitting, you know, there's gases, there's welding, there's potentials for explosion. So it's not always just a cakewalk and you make lots of money. A lot of these jobs are very demanding and hardworking. And
it's not safe.
Yeah.
Those are probably some of the deterrents, I would think, for a lot of these younger kids, these younger generations, because unfortunately a lot of these kids are being raised as kind of
lazy.
Lazy is a very PG word of saying what I was going to say. So we'll leave it at that. Yeah,
they're very lazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and they want the most for the least.
Yeah. When we went to tour the industries, not this past summer, but the one before, we were watching the kids, and it was one of my former students. He was going up the power line because he was training for lineman school. It's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You could fall. Yeah. You can get electrocuted to death. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. You know, and there's people that you know, maybe a different trade is something for you, like something in the medical field. You know what I mean? Because it's one of those things where someone's always going to need someone that can, you know, bandage a broken arm or, you know, treat somebody that needs it. And, that's a little less, I guess, risky.
Right. Well, you know, what's funny is my nephew is my oldest nephew. He just applied for the apprenticeship program out in California to be an electrician. And originally he was asking me about linemen. And I said, listen, man, I wanted to be a lineman. But there's a couple things you have to understand about that specific trade. One, you're going to be gone a lot. Right. You guys chase storms.
A lot.
Part of your job.
Yeah.
And two, you don't make mistakes in that industry because you don't come home if you make a mistake.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a very particular breed that has to do that job.
Yeah.
But You know, it is a shame because I knew when I went to high school, man, nobody talked about trades. Trades were for the dumb kids. Trades are for the guys that were going to the continuation school.
We talked about this last time on the podcast.
Yeah, we did.
We talked about this last time on the podcast, and I said, it's not for the dumb kids. It's for the smart kids.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, because there's a lot that goes into...
You're not going to go in debt.
Right. You know, and... but it just... Like welders, they're some of the fucking smartest people when it comes to geometry that I've ever met. You know what I mean?
And they are.
Because they have to be.
I think what makes me different from a lot of other teachers is that, you know, a lot of teachers, they're like, you need to be like me, mm-hmm. and you need to go do this and you need to go do that. But they come in my room and I'm like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Do you want to be in a trade? Do you want to go to school? If you want to go to school, great. I'll help you apply for college. If you mm-hmm. don't, let's find you something to train you.
Yeah.
To go into a job. And I think that surprises the kids.
It does.
They're like, what?
Yeah.
She's telling me to not go to college?
Yeah. Because there's not a whole lot of teachers. Just, not a whole lot of you guys that'll do that. As a matter of fact, I was speaking
Let's be honest. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, so I was speaking to a guy that I train with, and he's a high school teacher. And, you know, I was asking him, well, when kids tell you, like, all right, what's my next move? What do you tell them? Like, well, you got to go to college. And he's like, absolutely not. He goes, I went to college, and he's like, it was fine for me. But he's like, I was the only one out of my family that did it. And he's like, I'm mm-hmm. one of the few people that I know that went to college, like out of his college group of friends, that is doing something with his degree. And he's like, I tell all my students, like, find a trade. You're not going to get into, you know, $250,000 debt. You'll be able to have solid, steady work for the rest of your life. And he teaches them all about taxes, investing. You know, he goes into how to do your taxes and things like that. They know how to write checks.
Yeah, we did that the other day, actually.
They don't do that anymore in school.
I mean, they don't even know the difference between a W-4 and a W-2.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when I first got a job right out of high school, I didn't know what to do with that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting. And I find that some, like you were saying, kind of building on top of that, Boyd, like some of the smartest people I've ever met are in trades.
Yeah.
Especially considering mm-hmm. how much of the core education really goes into it, right? Mm-hmm. Your math, your sciences, even your English. I mean, especially if you get into like a leadership role, you really have to know how to delegate work, how to communicate with people, and then how to understand your industry.
Yeah.
So that the guys that you're in charge of can do the job correctly and safely.
But you also have to be able to translate all of that to a customer, you know what I mean?
Right.
And pretty much any of those forms. So it's like you got to be smart enough to tell the people that are doing it what to do, how to do it, and then explain it to these people mm-hmm. who have no idea what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
Ashley, let me ask you this. Of the students that you have or have had over the past, let's just say 2 years ever since COVID kind of really...
I've been teaching for 17 years.
Okay.
But we can talk about since COVID. Yeah.
How many of them have shown an interest in a trade?
Probably 70% since COVID.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Now, do you think that is a reflection of the market?
I think it's a reflection of the market, but I also think it's a reflection of what my school is doing. Like, we are trying to get them into a career. Mm-hmm. Like, right. We find the kids that are like, they probably don't have the GPA. Mm-hmm. They probably don't have the, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And academically, it's just not there. Yeah.
I had one kid, he works for the city now, and he had sent me a message over the summer, and he was like, Miss Brown, this basketball recruiter is like looking at me, and I'm like, no, I said, you were offered an amazing opportunity at the city and you're going to take that job. Done. Sorry. Yeah. So we encourage our kids, like, sometimes I feel like the ones who go to college just fall in between the cracks because we're so focused on getting these other kids jobs.
Yeah.
And it's like the parents of those kids going to college, like I went to college, my dad supported me. I didn't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. We are getting the kids who don't have that support.
Right.
So it's very different, but I feel like now I'm like so open about it and I'm like, go into a trade. So it's 70 to 75% of our kids go into a trade.
That's awesome.
How many females? Insane.
A lot. I actually had one when y'all saw my pictures from the career fair. I actually have one want to be a truck driver.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow. Good for her.
And like a diesel mechanic, like all these females. And I'm like, you have to go into this trade because they will pay for you 100% as a female.
Oh, yeah.
And they love it. They love 100%. It when women get into the trades.
They do. Yeah. That's so awesome. I just encourage and I just push and push and push and push. And they're probably like, gosh, Miss Brown, you drive me crazy. But
yeah. Yeah.
I push and push.
Yeah. Cause I mean, there's no sense in spending that kind of money for your kid to turn into a crazy liberal lunatic anyway. So.
Exactly. Well, the thing is that me and my husband have always talked about it. And, you know, my husband has 2 degrees, but I have 3. I went to college and I partied my fucking ass off. Like what we did. And when I got into my education classes, yes, I got into that, but some of our kids don't need to go to college. They need to be grounded.
Right.
Well, I would say a lot of kids probably don't need to go to college. You know, like there's probably only
Well, like we talked about last time, unless you're going to be a nurse, a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, you don't need to go to college.
That's about it, really.
Yeah.
That's about it, really. And
I mean, you don't.
What's interesting about it, too, is it's not very well known how much the trades make. Like, it's like a public kept secret.
Yeah.
It is Georgia. It is in Georgia.
Yeah. I think it's like that.
My kids know.
Yeah.
My kids know how much it is to be a lineman or.
It's easy to find. It's easy to find, but I think most places, like the people who are telling you fill out these college applications, they're not saying like, hey, you know, pipe fitter start you off at $60K a year. You know, they're like, fill this out.
It really frustrates me because it's like you could be focusing on these kids' skills.
Exactly.
Like maybe they're not like, I'm sorry, but maybe they're not smart enough. Maybe they're not like, I wasn't very smart. I worked my ass off to be fucking smart. But maybe there's a bunch of skills they have that I like, I don't know. It just.
Yeah. Well, they don't try and find the skill. Yeah. They don't try and find the skill that suits the student. You know what I mean? Because you might have a kid you think is some sort of crayon eater, but maybe he's like, you know, a fucking math wizard. As soon as you explain it to him in terms of welding, or as soon as you explain it to him in terms of fabrication and things like that. You know what I mean? So I think there's a lot of opportunity to like find and steer those kids in those lanes, but it's just not. I don't think the mainstream education system's willing to do
that. I mean, my oldest son, I'm pretty sure you've seen his artwork. He is amazing. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to go to Savannah College of Art and Design. He's like Bob fucking Ross. He's amazing. Would I put him in a trade job? No.
Right.
My youngest son loves all the like going out and like going and building stuff.
Yeah.
He would be my trade kid. But you have to figure that out in your classroom. And exactly. I have figured that out a lot. Like, well, this kid's really smart. We won't talk about trades with him. I find the kids.
Yeah.
It's just,
It's so interesting because some of the guys that I've worked with, I mean, don't get me wrong, a lot of the trade guys, they're a lot of grimy guys. You know, they're blue right. collar. They love their cigarettes and beer and titty bars and all that stuff, you know.
There's nothing wrong with cigarettes and beer and titty bars. No. Okay?
I, you know, but it's just like those are the ones that get looked down upon in society. But like right. I've been doing this for almost 10 years now. And this guy that I had met on the job site, he was on my crew. He showed me some stuff about bending pipe that I had never, I'd never seen, ever. I've never seen it before.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, how does your brain work like that? And he's like, oh man, I have a knack for this. This is my thing, you know? And
come on in a
classroom, you will not find that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, cause it's like, do your homework, turn your homework in, make sure, oh, you forgot to punctuate this. And then, so now you got a D, you got to repeat the class. And then that kid falls behind the pack.
You know, the only thing that bothers me about my classroom, they don't know how to write in fucking cursive.
Yeah. What is that?
They can't sign their name.
That's so weird. Why?
It baffles me.
Dude, like, they asked me last year,
they were like, can you teach us how to write in cursive? I was like, no.
Whoa. Yeah, that's like
my own son school stuff.
Wow. Yeah, my
they don't teach cursive anymore.
My oldest son wants to learn how to write in cursive. And he tries really hard, right? And I'm like, dude, let's get regular writing down, because his regular writing is already like really bad, and we're working on it.
Now, my oldest son taught himself how to write cursive. I never taught him.
Wow, that's so weird.
My students never can't even write cursive. They're like, Miss Brown, can you please teach us how to sign our name? I'm like, that's your mother's job.
Whoa.
Yeah, you know what's really weird is like,
I don't write cursive.
I mean, I learned cursive in grade school.
Yeah.
And my mom writes everything in cursive.
Yeah.
And I've now, like, I write now, I've combined the two.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So like I'll write like regular letters, and then I'll end in cursive, or I'll combine like three letters in cursive.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's baffling. And this is also the benefit too of even having homeschool, like homeschooling your children, because you can teach them all these things because they're not teaching them anymore.
Right.
You know, you
and you're still homeschooling, right?
Yeah, my boy will be homeschooled. Yeah. I mean, he's 2.5 right now, almost 2.5, but that's still the plan. And I get an advantage almost to teach him things that will be so much more beneficial to him than some of the things that they teach in his class now. And to be honest, like I really don't know what exactly they're even teaching in school anymore, because
they don't even have a signature anymore because they can't write in cursive.
That's so weird.
Baffles me.
Do you think there's a conspiracy behind that?
Like you said, there's maybe that's true. Maybe it's because they don't want them to be able to read the Constitution.
Oh, they can't read the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, unless it's
printed. Oh, I like that conspiracy.
You never know. Well, if you think about it, if you think about some of the past episodes we've done, especially about the birth certificate and all that stuff, like your signature is your power. Yeah. Well, if you don't know how to sign your name, you lose your power.
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. Man.
But my son, who is almost 14, taught himself cursive.
Yeah. Yeah, how did that come about?
Like, what kind of fucking wizard are you? What are you
He's
doing?
Like, all those curly this.
Now, how did that come about, like, Ashley? How did that come about?
Do what?
How did that come about? How did he just sit down one day and started typing or writing cursive?
He did not like that I knew how to sign my name, and he didn't know how to sign his. So he looked it up on YouTube and learned how to sign it.
Hell yeah!
Yeah. Probably during COVID when we were just all sitting here.
Right. That's awesome.
That's really cool. Yeah. And those are the things that will separate him from the crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's very, he told me, he was like, I'm not going to not know how to sign my name. He said, that's ridiculous. You don't print your name. You sign it.
Yeah. That's so weird.
I was like, oh, Okay.
Just don't tell them. Don't.
It is weird.
Start researching why your signature means certain things. Don't let them go down that rabbit hole. Then we have to go to a parent-teacher conference.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he already thinks, my son already thinks I'm crazy because I believe in flat Earth. So.
I'll bring him in. Bring him in.
Crazy. He thinks I'm insane.
It's all good.
We watched the sunrise at the beach, and I was like, see it? See it? It's flat. And he's like, no, it's not, Mom. I'm like, yes, it is.
Looks flat to me. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. How do you know
it's flat? It does look flat when you watch the sunrise.
Right.
It's insane.
Yeah, so with your school and everything that you're doing, are you getting any pushback from administration or specific to your school? They're really encouraging kids to look at trades.
Actually, my assistant principal went and spoke at a conference this summer. It was called like the Georgia Leadership Conference or whatever, and she actually presented what we're doing at that conference.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
that's really good. That's really good.
Yeah. They have our back and they're 100% behind us.
Let me give you this.
That's awesome. Hopefully hopefully other schools start adopting that model.
Here. Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of schools are. I also think that a lot of schools have a lot of different populations than we do. Right. So you can't compare one or the other. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Sure. Go ahead, Ashley.
We're from a rural town, so.
Right. Okay.
Well, I mean, we do know that the education system was hijacked a long time ago by Rockefeller, and he even said, "I don't want a nation of thinkers. I want a nation of workers."
We all know that Rockefeller took over the education system.
Yeah.
Yeah, dick bag.
Yeah, not cool.
Not cool. So now the kids
but
that
I
are
think
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna ask
no,
that the kids that are not interested in a trade because they want to go the college route, are they capable of doing that, and are they choosing the right path and I mean by that, are they focusing on something that would be beneficial, like a doctor, a lawyer, a dentist, something like that? Not like, oh, I wanted to liberal arts dance theory or whatever.
Fucking liberals. So the career project I do, and you saw the pictures, is like pick a college, pick a trade school, pick a training school. Mm-hmm. So everyone who picks a career has to pick something and research it. So yes, I think the college kids, they still feel like they're involved. I feel like sometimes I focus way too much on the trades.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Like they're the ones who's going to be running the country.
Well, I think there's less information. You know, it's easy to go fill out an application for school because doesn't matter. They'll give you a student loan. You know, I think it's a little information for trades was a little harder to come by. So,
well, you can be mad at me all you want to, but to me, like I grew up blue collar. Like my dad was blue collar, my mom was blue collar. Like it's important for these people to know that people are retiring out of trades. Mm-hmm. There's no one to replace them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you got to fill in these jobs or the country's not going to run.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you can go to school, get a degree in education and be a teacher all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
But like I've talked about with you, a welder, like a head welder, they're retiring now.
Oh yeah.
There's no one to replace them.
Yeah. Yep.
Lineman? Yeah. I know a lineman who's 42 years old. Do you think he's going to be a lineman forever? No.
No.
His son wants to go into lineman school.
Yeah.
So it's just, you have to focus on the trades. You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what's interesting about that too is something that's also not talked about, and perhaps this plays part into the conspiracy, I don't know, that these trades will not be replaced by artificial intelligence. They will not be replaced by robotics. They will not be replaced by it's physically impossible to do that.
Right.
So not only do you have a steady a source of income, it is not dependent on the economy. The innovation of technology will not replace your job.
That's right.
You can't be replaced by AI in the trades.
Right.
Mm-mm.
But I don't believe you can be in the classroom either after COVID.
No, that was such a terrible experiment.
Boya hates it. Still is like having PTSD over
because my son missed out on a lot of classroom time. You know,
I remember on the podcast you were like, "Oh my god, my kids!"
You know? And so they're talking about lockdowns coming and all this shit again, and I'm like, dude, we're not doing this again. And I feel like
you trying to lock me down ain't happening.
Yeah, I feel like they're gonna have a harder time doing
it. I'll still be at work.
Yeah. So and you know, we ask the teachers, we ask the teachers often, you know, because I wouldn't say my son's any further behind than any other kid his age because of all the stuff that they all had to go through because of COVID. But, you know, she says all the time, it's not just him, it's everybody. Like, we're playing catch up with 3 years of kids, you know, and then all the older kids, socially, they're all messed up and shit. So it's just, it wasn't good for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They are so messed up. Like, you know, last year my kids graduated and I said names at graduation because they voted for me, but whatever. But we're starting to see some normalcy again.
Mm-hmm.
As in, like, last year's group was the group that was in, like, ninth grade when COVID happened.
Right.
So they were a little different. And this year, like, you're starting to get into, like, the middle school years where they kind of forget it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a little further along.
They still try to use it as an excuse. Like, why can't we get excuse absences? I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
You had
all of them. Yeah, you had all the excuse absences. Yeah.
You did for 3 years.
Yeah. And I don't think it's going to come back the way people are thinking, because I think they're going to have a harder time.
If it does, I quit. I'm moving out of the country.
That's right. Find me in Iceland.
Yeah, let's go to Iceland. My husband even said that. He was like, if they shut us down again, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I wish they would shut down, the internet just for like a week. Just so all these retards that are out there who are like, I'm famous on TikTok. I'm famous on Instagram. I'm famous for making my butthole wink for $3.99. Dude, the internet goes away. You're unemployed. You have it's not a job, right? Yeah. Right? So, let's just purge those people out of their pseudo careers.
Yeah.
Right? And snap them back into reality. And I think that would be very beneficial for society as a whole.
Yeah, I agree.
Very beneficial.
But let's change gears just a little bit as we get towards the end of the show here. Why don't we talk real quick about these coming COVID lockdown and COVID measures? They're talking about sometime in September, mid-September, end of September, right? I'm still waiting for the great winter of death. It never got me 2 years running now.
I never had the winter of death.
Yeah. But my question is, like, and this is what everyone has to ask themselves. Like, even if you're dumb enough to believe the shit and put the mask on and do it all over again, what you have to ask yourself is, why in September? If it is truly a deadly virus and it's spreading and there's new variants and you got to be careful and do all this, why don't you just wear the mask? Why don't you just do it right now then?
Right.
Oh, because it's fucking fake. Because
you have to get ready for the election.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's why they start it the year prior, because they're like, dude, we can't start it like the September before elections. Listen, we have to get that early. So, ramp it up.
So I have this very, very liberal teacher that I work with. Okay. That's fine. You be a liberal. My son's a liberal.
What?
Whatever. He said, look, we were sitting at the table last week at lunch, and he said, someone said, how do you get, like, votes? And he goes, oh, dead people. I said, oh, that's fucking convenient.
Yeah.
And the guy beside me, one of my friends beside me, was like, shut up, shut up, shut up. I was like, it's fucking convenient.
Yeah, that's how
they
do it.
He said, we get votes from dead people.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah, yeah. They all know it. They all know dead it. People. Yeah.
They all know it. It's insane.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't even deal.
Now, do you think that they're actually going to do it?
Do what?
COVID. Do they're going to do another COVID thing?
If they do, I'm not following the rules.
Yeah.
I didn't follow the rules last time. Yeah.
I saw someone put it on their Instagram page. There was a news article, of course, because there's all this numerology and weird stuff that goes down with these occult. Basically, it's just an occult ritual, is what it is.
Yeah.
And this guy filmed a newsreel, and they were talking about there was 333 cases of the new variant. And I was like, really?
Stop.
Really?
333?
Come on. Yeah. Get out of here, you Illuminati bastard. Really? Get out of here.
Yeah, I think they'll try, but I don't think they'll be successful.
They literally used the 33.
Yeah.
Stop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, let me see if I can pull that up. COVID.
Do it.
Case. Yeah, there was a lot of
so over COVID.
There was a lot of different news stations that were reporting 33 cases.
Stop.
Or 33 people hospitalized, or all kinds of weird shit.
Let's see.
That makes me so mad.
July pandemic 23. I'm looking it up here. They always come up with these stupid fucking names too, like the TAG-VE-B95 variant.
It's like a new car model, dude. It's got to have a cool new name.
Why don't you go ahead and go on Britney Spears' page? God, Jesus.
Oh yeah, that's an odd one there.
Yeah, here's the new variant. The XBB.1.5 is the new variant.
But doesn't it have like a flashy like superhero name though?
I'm not finding.
Wasn't it like the Eris?
Oh, it was Eris. Yes, yeah. That's what they're originally calling it. I don't know if they're still calling it.
Why?
Because they're all cultists.
Yeah, Eris is like a Greek god of chaos or some bullshit like that.
Let's look that up, actually.
Well, they have to do the Greek gods and all the stuff.
Eris is the Greek god of war and courage.
That's what it is. Right before we decide to poke Putin.
Shoot, dude. Vladdy's my daddy, bro. Relax.
Oh, my God. Don't say that.
No, but that was another ridiculous one that we had to call out.
Yeah.
Very early on, especially with what was going on there. And I've even heard reports now about Russia and Ukraine that Ukraine is not only losing, but they're losing very badly.
Well, that's been
the
word for a while.
I fucking hate Ukraine.
Yeah, they don't, they're just pushing people out there to pretty much die. People that are out on the front lines.
They're just giving them money and giving them money and giving them money.
Yeah, but I remember groups of Americans and stuff that left over there to help go fight. They showed up there and they're like, all right, here's a gun. And they're like, cool, where's the ammo? Oh, well, that's all we got. No plate carriers, no kit, no nothing. You know, so a lot of people were fleeing out to Poland. And for the most part, the only people that were doing any killing were the ones that were, you know, in Ukrainian soldier uniforms, but were from other countries.
Yeah. Burning in Mali. That's really interesting. But actually, let's ask you a few more questions before we end the show here.
Okay.
About trades, what has been the more? I know you mentioned linemen for the I'm assuming for the boys. How about for the females? Is there a centralized one that a lot of them are looking into?
We're looking into the medical profession. Mm-hmm. So you go into like an assistant nurse or something like that. Also a diesel mechanic. We've seen that multiple times in the past 5 years. But yeah, the females, man, they're killing it.
That's awesome.
You know what's really interesting
go ahead.
What's really interesting about the trades is the trades, and this is not unique to union, it's also unique to non-union, right? So there's no bias there. But the trade industry is systematically the destruction of women not getting paid the same rate as men. Right now, it's bullshit. A little bit more common in non-union.
They get paid just as much as men in trades.
Right now, it's a little bit more common in non-union, only because you can fluctuate your own pay. Right. But for me, like as an example, I'm in a union, so as a journeyman, I make what all of the journeymen make. That doesn't mean that they're just men. There's plenty of women in our trade. They make also $47 an hour, right? There's not like, they're like, oh, you're a female? A dollar less right off the bat. Like, obviously, that doesn't happen. Of course, they don't talk about that because in that conversation, I think they leave trades out for a reason. Mm-hmm. They specifically leave trades out. Now, if you're looking at the grand scheme of everything, like, women do make a little bit less than men on average. But that's also, of course, because they leave out... Women stop working to have children. Men generally work longer hours.
they're better organized and things like that. You know what I mean? But I think that biggest pay discrepancy is thanks to the corporate world. You know what I mean? Because still, it's very, you know, very much a boys' club, and you kind of got to really know somebody. Yeah, you got to really know somebody to get to the top in general. It's no different than government, you know. You either marry into that kind of shit or you know somebody, you get a hookup.
But yeah, I've seen a lot of girls get paid a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I don't think it's unique to them being a female either. It's it all depends.
Well,
I'm
gonna be, and we all know I'm not racist, but black females go into the hospital and make a shit ton of money.
Oh yeah, yeah, and they have the best.
My former cheerleader, she's black.
They have the best bedside manner. Like, you know, if you need to be comforted, oh, man.
You want Big Mama to take care of you.
Yeah, and nothing will make you more feel more at home.
One of my cheerleaders, she's teeny tiny. She's probably 115, soaking wet, black. Another one of them, Asian, black. Both of them are working at the hospital in town, and they're making a shit ton of money.
Good for them.
Yeah.
That's good. I'll tell you guys a life hack. Tell you a life hack. If you're ever in the hospital and you have to have your blood drawn, ask for a Filipino. Say, if you have any Filipinos.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to go up to Kamaya and be like, come on, boo.
Yeah, I'm looking for a Filipino specifically. If you have any on staff tonight, I want them to poke me. Dude, the stint that I did in the hospital back in 2016 for my motorcycle accident, every 2 hours they had to draw my blood, right? Now, they would leave... a thing, you know, in your arm. They just come in and fill it up or whatever. But eventually your vein would go bad and they'd have to switch arms. Mm-hmm. I had this one Filipino lady came in. I swear to God, she didn't even put a needle in me. I don't know. She just magically appeared in my arm. She was so good. It's fantastic. They thrive in that market as well. Mm-hmm. So you got to get your blood drawn. Look for a Filipino. We're all inclusive on this show here.
All inclusive.
That's it.
That's right.
Well, tell you what, Ashley, we're getting close to an hour here. Do you have anything else you want to tell anybody who's listening to this episode that you plan on sharing with
them? I think I'm going to share that if you have a child who does not know where they want to go, encourage trade school, encourage a job, encourage just support them.
Right.
Like, they don't have to go to college to be successful. Mm-hmm. Support your kid and be, just support them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've become so passionate about this since our last podcast. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's awesome. That's good. It's really good. And you see, a show that talks about
it is really good.
It's jokes just, could be good for teachers.
That's right.
I know, but it's like whiskey, beer, and conspiracy theories, blah, 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 blah. I love some flat earth. I'm obsessed with flat earth. My son does not agree with me.
Well, he's a liberal, so who cares?
The thing is, we want to get the right thing out to the people. Like,
that's right.
Just support your kids.
Yeah.
Support your kids in a train.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said better. Uh-oh. We lost her for a second there.
Uh-oh.
I know we had a little bit of delay back and forth.
Yeah.
But she's back. We lost her for a second. No. She's back. You're back.
Well, there actually, we go.
Let's go ahead and wrap the show here.
Put your kid in a trade.
That's right. Put your kid in a trade. Ashley, I want to thank you so much for taking time to come back on the show again.
Appreciate it.
And encourage the listeners.
Thank you for having me. I always love being on here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a very positive message that you can bring to us.
I wish Noel was on here right now.
Yeah. he's lost in the weeds somewhere.
I love Noel. Love him. He's so great.
Right. Yeah,
he's a good guy. Man. Shout out to Noel, man. Or Chris. This would actually have been a great episode for Chris because I was recently talking to him about it. And I was like, dude, this is something you could do too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
yeah,
it's fantastic.
It was great. I always love being on here. I always love supporting you guys and supporting my students. And you are the best podcast ever.
So. Oh, thanks.
You heard it here, folks. Best podcast ever.
Best one ever, I swear.
Oh, thank you.
Shoot. I appreciate that. Well, Ashley, thank you so much again. Let's wrap it here, Boya. That's it for this episode of Whiskey, Beer, and Conspiracy Podcast. I've been Big Gundry.
I'm Boy.
And we'll see you guys on the next one. Take care.